Luke chapter number 2. And I just want to read one verse here this morning. This pulpit's blocking me off, Brother Mike, so I'm going to try to get behind there. That's what's wrong with it, Brother Derek. Luke chapter 2 this morning. And I want to, I've been preaching on a Christmas theme this whole month of December. And all of these Sunday mornings have been new message, a message never preached before in the last few weeks. I hadn't used them in time past, and the one this morning is the same way. I've been studying on this week, and I've been preaching new Christmas thoughts all during the month of December. And you can just go on and on and on with this story, the best story ever told. And so this morning, let's look in Luke chapter 2, and I just want to read one verse here. Look at verse number 7. Everybody knows this verse, and I won't take time to read the whole story. We need everybody in play at 4 o'clock this evening. Everyone in the play at 4 o'clock. This is it. Last practice before the big night. So you got to be here. Luke chapter 2, verse 7. Luke chapter 2, verse number 7. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. She brought forth her firstborn son. He came into this world. I'd like to preach this morning on the subject. You're going to turn it down just a little bit. Jesus, Wonderful Lord. More than 1900 years ago, there was a man born contrary to nature. This man lived in poverty and was reared in obscurity. He did not travel extensively. Only one time did he cross in which he was born. And that was during the exile in his childhood. He possessed neither name, wealth, or influence. His relatives were inconspicuous, influential, and had neither training nor education. Yet, in his infancy, he startled a king. In childhood, he puzzled the doctors. In manhood, he ruled the court of nature, walked upon the waves on the water as if pavements, and hushed the sea to sleep. He ruled the course of nature. He healed the multitudes without medicine and made no charges for his services. Never wrote a book, yet all the libraries in the world cannot hold the books that have been written about him. He never wrote a song, but he's furnished the theme for more songs than all the other songs put together. He never founded a college, but all the schools in the world can't boast of having as many students as he does. He never practiced medicine, yet he's healed more broken hearts than all the doctors put together far and near. He never marshaled an army, nor drafted a soldier, or fired a gun, yet no leader ever had more volunteers who have, under his orders, made more rebels stack arms and surrender without a shot being fired. He's the star of astronomy. He's the rock of geology. He's the lion and lamb of the zoological kingdom. He's the revealer of the snares that lurk in the darkness. He's the rebuker of everything that is evil and that prowls by night. He's the quickener of all that is wholesome, the adorner of all that is beautiful, the reconciler of all that is contradictory, the harmonizer of all discords, and the healer of all the diseases, and the savior of all mankind. He's Jesus, Wonderful Lord. We're not here this morning just to see each other and listen to me sing. We are here, as the song said, "Oh, come, let us adore Him." I hope that you're here this morning to adore Him. I want to say four things about Him this morning, and could say 1,000. But I want to say these four things this morning. It's my joy and privilege to bring you these blessed thoughts today. The first thing I want to say this morning is His birth was virgin. He's the only person before or since whose mother was a virgin. Now, them scientists have a fit with that.
And these professors and these college guys, they just stunk. It's just like running into a brick wall for them. When we get up and say that Jesus' mother was a virgin, they just flip their lids. I mean, smoke starts coming out their ears. I mean, lights start flashing on. Their computers, it boggles their mind. They just can't accept it. But I'm telling you this morning, his mother was a virgin. At the time of his birth, she had never known man in a physical, intimate way. She was a virgin when Jesus was born. Somebody said, well, that is impossible. You're right. With men, it is. But not with God. I don't see why a Christian would have a problem with that. I know people who say, well, I go to church all the time, but that virgin birth, that's just asking too much. I don't see why you'd have a problem with that. You say, well, it's impossible for man to get here with no daddy. Well, listen, Adam and Eve got here and didn't have a daddy or a mama. What do you think about that? That's no big deal. God made Adam and Eve and didn't even have a mama. It's no problem for God. With God, all things are possible. And so his mother was a virgin. And Luke 2:33 in the NIV, if you got an NIV or know your preacher uses the NIV, you tell him he's got one that denies the virgin birth in Luke 2:33. The Bible said that his mother saw it. In the NIV, it calls Joseph his father. So the NIV's wrong in Luke 2:33. Joseph was not his father. Joseph was his adopted father, but he was not his physical father. His birth was virgin. You know, the Bible said that it troubled Herod. When Herod heard that Jesus came to the earth, the Bible said it troubled him. It troubled him. He thought, man, who is this guy? He's Messiah. He's the Savior. It troubled him. You know, Jesus troubles people. He's a troublemaker. You see through the Bible that it troubled old Herod. Old Herod couldn't sleep that night. He troubled Judas till he committed suicide. He troubled Paul till he fell off his horse and went blind. He troubled Peter until he wept his way back to God. He troubled old Belshazzar till his knees knocked. He troubled Pharisees till they finally murdered him. He troubled the people in his day until they took a stand on. He troubled me one night till I got saved. I'm glad he calls us to some trouble once in a while. The Lord will trouble you. His earth was virgin. It created quite a stir. Born in Bethlehem. The word Bethlehem means house of bread. And that's where the bread of life come by God and sent him here in this world. His birth was virgin. But I want to say secondly this morning, his life was virtuous. His life was virtuous. The Bible said in 2 Peter 2 and verse 22, who did no sin. Jesus Christ was 33 years old on this earth and never committed a sin. Can you believe that? Can you believe? Now, nobody else knows anybody like that. If you ever met anybody that says they don't never sin, you just watch them for a little while. The Bible said the thought of foolishness is sin. The Bible said to know to do good and don't do it is a sin. The Bible said lying is a sin. Let me ask you people a question this morning. How many of you in here have ever told a lie? Would you raise your hand, please? You've told a lie. And if you don't raise your hand, you just told nothing. You have. Somewhere down the road, you've told a little something that wasn't exactly right. You say, no, I've never told a lie in my life. Now, come on now. You mean to tell me when you was growing up in school, when the teacher went out of the room, she said, now everybody do your homework or do your classwork, and you cut up the whole time she is gone, and then when she walked in, you started working all of a sudden, you know. You've done that, ain't you? You lied to her, made her think you've been working. Yes, sir, you've lied. This is the biggest crowd of liars I've preached to in a good while. Listen, how many of you have ever stole something? You took something that was not really yours. Raise your hand, please. You eat a biscuit at the buffet and didn't pay for the buffet. Because your boyfriend or husband paid for it. Come on now. That's stealing. Amen. Don't get too religious on me. I'm going to tell you something, brother. You have, let's see what else you've done. You've took God's air that He gave you and didn't give Him glory. You had your tithes your whole entire life. Some of you didn't give them this morning. You stole this morning. Biggest bunch of thieves I've preached to in a long time. Here we are in here, liars and thieves. Lord help. What a mess we're in. I'm going to tell you something. Jesus Christ never spoke one word that He wasn't supposed to speak. He spoke everything. every word that he was supposed to speak. His feet never went that far out of the will of God. Can you imagine that? I mean, that not that far. His hand never touched one thing that was wrong. His eyes never looked at one thing that he shouldn't look at. What about that? I'm telling you, brother, his thoughts were pure. Sure, the devil tempted him, but the Bible said he did no sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. I knew his life was virtuous. His life was perfect. We see him preaching in Nicodemus, John chapter 3. He looked at old Nicodemus, that religious leader. He didn't say, "I'm so flattered that you come to hear me, Nicodemus. I just want to get in there and preach revival over in the Jewish synagogue." He looked back at Nicodemus and said, "Buddy, you know what your problem is? You need to get born again." He didn't cut Nicodemus no slack. Isn't that something? His life was perfect. In John 4, the woman at the well, she had lived a wicked life. She had been married 5 times and was shacking up with a man she wasn't married to. She was a Hollywood movie star before Liz Taylor ever come along. Had been through 5 marriages and shacking up with a man she wasn't married to. She came down there and sat on the well, and boy, I'll tell you what, he began to talk to her. I'm glad he didn't go to some of our colleges we got nowadays. He'd have said, "It's not right for me to talk to a woman alone," and walked off and let her went to hell. But anyway, the Lord talked to her. And buddy, I'll tell you what, he had an interest in her soul. And he cared about that woman. And he had a burden for her. And he looked at that woman and he said, "Listen, lady," he said, "go call your husband." And she said, "I ain't got no husband." He said, "You said that right. You ain't got no husband. Lord, you hit the nail on the head there." And he started getting at her problem. He said, "You've had 5. You got now, ain't you, husband?" And she said, "How'd you know that? Jews don't talk to Samaritans. We don't even have no dealings like that." And the Lord said, "Because I know I'm not." He was pure, see? Had no unpure motives. He wasn't there flirting with her at the hell. He was there, brother, interested in her soul. I'm telling you, his life was virtuous. I'm telling these wicked bunch of devils in these colleges trying to accuse him. They accuse him of being married to Mary Magdalene and fathering children, being homosexual and everything else. Or this one old lesbian woman's had a big sign up and she said Jesus was homosexual. And they said, "How do you know?" She said he had 12 boyfriends he ran around with all the time. Telling you something, that's blasphemy. He never had homosexual desire in his life. Amen. His life was virtuous. Amen. He talked to the Pharisees and the Sadducees. He raised Lazarus from the dead. He always had the right message. "Lazarus, get up!" And Lazarus got up out of the grave. "Woman at the well, go call your husband." He forgave her and sent her off. "Woman caught in adultery, go and sin no more." The blind man, he said, "Receive your sight." The man at the pool of Bethesda, he got him up in John chapter 5 and along in there. I'm telling you, brother, his life was perfect. I'll never forget reading about and all these stories about when these Pharisees and Sadducees came to him. Sadducees came to the Lord one day. And they came up to the Lord and they said, "Master," watch out for anybody that calls him that. And that's what Judas called him. Never called him Lord, called him Master. These people, it's always talking about him being Master and the great example and the great lowly, meek Nazarene. Just stay away from that crowd. They're crazy. He's Lord. He's Lord. He's boss. He's the ruler. He's the owner. And so they said, "Master, we have a question for you." And he said, "What's that?" And all these people were standing around. There he stood. Can you imagine? All the people just crowd around. It'd be like now if the Pope or somebody showed up over here, it'd be even greater than that. Because I know the Pope's a sinner. And buddy, Jesus stood there. There was all kinds of people gathered around. And they all stood around and said, "What's he going to say? What's he going to say?" And the Sadducee stepped up here and he said, "We have a question for you. You people believe in the resurrection?" You see, Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. They believed in no resurrection. They believed when you was dead, you was dead. When you died, that was the end of you. And so they said, "We have a question for you." And the Lord said, yes, sir, what is it?" He said, "You always people talking about the resurrection." He said, "There was a man among us who was born. And this man got married. And this man had 6 brothers. There was 7 of them. And he said, this man got married. And he said, his wife died." And said, "Wife?" No, he died. And he said, when he died, his brother, obeying the Mosaic law, come up and married his his brother's ex-wife. And that's what they did in the Old Testament. In the Old Testament, I know this sounds a little strange just now, but in the Old Testament, if a man died, his younger brother would marry his wife and raise up seed so they keep the family going to his dead brother. That seems odd to us now. Really odd. But back then, that was the way they did it in the Old Testament. A lot of things in the Old Testament that's odd to us now. And you couldn't do it now. But anyway, they said this man, he died, and his brother come up and married this woman. Well, it came to pass that he died. And his third brother came up and married this same woman. And I'll be, if something didn't happen to him, he died. And the fourth brother came up and married the same woman. And he died. The fifth brother came up. Fifth little brother. I mean, and he came up and he said, well, it's my job to do. Lord said, do it. So he married this woman. And doggone, something didn't happen to him. And he, and the sixth brother came up. Now, I tell you, I'd stop right there if it was me, brother. I'd say, she done killed five of my brothers. I ain't touching her with a 10-foot pole, wouldn't you? I mean, man, done married. My five of my brothers done married to him. They all died. I'd say, I don't live to get married. I tell you what, I'd get out of that. Like old Billy Kelly said, he preached one time. He said, this woman come up to him. He said, ooh, I can't stand you, preacher. She said, if you was my husband, I'd put poison in your food. He said, if you was my wife, I'd eat it. But I tell you what, that might have been what she was doing. She might have been poisoning them fellas. I don't know. But anyway, the sixth brother came up and he married her and he died. And the seventh came up and he married her and he died. And the Bible said, and last of all, the woman died also. And they say a thing about that. And they said, in the resurrection, whose wife's she going to be? And they thought, buddy, we've got him. He can't answer that. You're going to be up there married to all seven of them when you get there in heaven? Well, that's crazy. What's he going to say? And the Lord looked back at him. He said, you guys, you make a mistake by not studying your Bible. You don't know the Scriptures. He said, in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Anybody else got a question? I mean, that's the way he lived his life. That's the way he lived his life. I mean, buddy, he took up for him. He put them religious leaders in their place. I would have loved to have seen that. I would have loved to have been hid back over there somewhere with a video camera and watched him silence the Pharisees and those that made. One of them come up one time and he said, who gave you this authority? The baptism of John. Baptized people. And he said, well, the baptism of John, did it come from God or the devil? And they couldn't answer it. And he said, them on their way. His life was virtuous. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, his life was virtuous. I'd take it any day of the week, wouldn't you? His life for mine. He was both God and man. Two individuals united in one personality. As a man, he thirsted. But as God, he gave living water. As a man, he went to a wedding. But as God, he turned the water into wine. As a man, he slept in a boat. But as God, he stood up and told the waves to lay down and still the storm. As a man, he was tempted. But as God, he sinned not. As a man, he wept. But as God, he raised Lazarus from the dead. As a man, he prayed. But as God, he makes intercession for all men. Isn't that something? I'm telling you, people, there's nobody like him. There's never been a person. His life was virtuous. Amen? I'm glad to say, when he preached, bless the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. When he preached the end time, he said, everything perfect, 33 and a half years, and never made one error or a mistake. His life was virtuous. But thirdly this morning, let me say this. I said first, his birth was virgin. I said second, his life was virtuous. Number three, his death was vicarious. His death was vicarious. Now, vicarious is a word that you need to understand. And it's a word that means in the place of. One doing it in the place of another. Vicarious means a substitute. It means they're supposed to be here, but I'm standing in their place, like a pinch hitter in baseball. When a man, you know, they come up and they call on a pinch hitter, he takes the man's place, tries to knock a home run. That's what vicarious means. Vicarious means to take somebody's place or put in the place of. It means right here, I'm standing right here, I'm doomed to die, and somebody comes up and says, step aside and stands in my place. I'm telling you, his death was vicarious. I'm telling you this morning, he didn't even have to die. He was sinless. He could have lived forever and ever. The reason we have to die is because we sin. If we never sinned, we would never have to die. But I'm telling you, his death was vicarious. No man taketh it from me, he said. I lay it down of myself. It is human nature to resist. You know that? It's human nature. If you got me down here this morning and started trying to hold me down, I'm going to resist. You can't help it. You can take a little old kid and get it down. They'll fight you. They'll try to fight back. It's human nature. He stood there and never opened his mouth. Now you think about this. That night they took the Lord out there. They took him and they put him out there. And the first thing they done was they scourged him. And you know what scourging is? After they sent him back and forth from Pilate, they made a scourge. And a scourge, we're going to have a man at the youth rally that's going to show you and demonstrate that. He's the world champion knife thrower. And he'll be at the youth rally, Lord willing, in April. But he said he's got a scourge, and he's going to teach us a lesson on scourging. And he said they call it a cat of nine tails. They took the Lord up there that night, and they took Jesus Christ and grabbed him. And they took him up like this, and they would tie their hands up like this, strip their clothes off, and put them up against the wall with their hands tied like that. And them Roman soldiers would take that scourge. Now that scourge would be like a handle. It'd be like a wooden handle, about like that. And out of that scourge would be long leather straps. And in these straps were little sharp pieces of glass or rocks or something like that, a torture weapon. And he'd take that scourge like that, and them Roman soldiers would go like this, and the first time they'd come in, they'd go, slap! And when they did like that, them bits of rock and glass would cut into the insides of that person. It would jerk it like that, where it just ripped the inside. And lots of people, you listen? Lots of people died just from the scourging. A lot of them, they're literally, their intestines would fall out on the ground. And they'd bleed to death before they ever got to the cross. And they ripped his body apart like that. I'm telling you, his death was vicarious. He didn't have to go through that. He didn't deserve to go through that. Brother, it was his life for mine. And I'm telling you what, they jerked him like that. That's only one time. Nine stripes. And they come across, slap! Like that. And that was only two times. They come across, slap, like that, and literally ripped his back open. The Bible said they made their furrows. They plowed up his back. I'm telling you this morning, ladies and gentlemen, they beat his back till you couldn't even tell what he looked like. The Bible said his visage was marred more than any man. He looked like hamburger meat with blood running down his back. They put up these little old Catholic pictures of Jesus with old Nick here and there and him dying on the cross. And the way it was, they beat him. You couldn't tell he was a man. His visage was marred. You listen to me, young people. You kids listen to me. I'm telling you, it was his life for yours. For every cuss word you've ever said, for every beer you've ever drank, for every time you've ever shot up some dope or smoked a joint or told a lie or had pride or jealousy or envy or lust or evil desires, brother, it was on his back. Slap one more time. Slap one more time. By the way, that's why we'll live right. We'll live right because he loved us enough to give his life for our sin. Nobody ought not to have to beg you to come to church. Nobody ought to have to beg you to give and sing and pray. Lord, have mercy. He gave his life for you. You say, well, I got to go to church. People of us have me. Nobody ought to. If that ever dawned on you, if you believed that, you'd say, glory to God, I can't wait on Sunday to go in and sit down and worship my Lord who died a vicarious death for my sins. Think of the worst thing you've ever done in your life. He let them beat him to pay for that sin. Not only that, they took him, they slapped him. And I say this reverently, but the Bible said they covered his face with their spit. His face was covered with their spit. They lined him up, and all of them spit in his face. And you know why he took it? He stood there and never opened his mouth, because he seen that little girl right there. And these little boys right here. And these little boys right here. And Brother Andy, and Sabrina, and Brother Roy Lee, and Vicky. And he said, nope, I'm going to take it for them. They spit in his face for y'all. He done that for you. It's vicarious. That means he's a substitute. I'm telling you, you know what that would be like? That would be like Charles Manson's victim's family going to the lecture in the place of Charles Manson. That would be like his victim's family going up there and saying, no, I love old Charles. I want to die. That would be like Scott Peterson's mother-in-law, that Sharon Rocha or whatever her name is, going to the gas chamber and serving Scott Peterson's sentence. That's just impossible. That would never happen. That's like Nicole Brown Simpson's family and Ron Goldman's family stepping up and saying, no, let O.J. go free. I'll take his punishment. Brother, that's what it's like. Jesus stepped up and said, Danny, go free. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Thanks be unto Jesus. Brother, it was His life for mine. He paid for my sin. He died for my sin. He bled for my sin. It's His life for mine. I'll take that any day of the week. His life for mine. It's a joy to know His death was vicarious. Amen. God shed His grace and giveth His life for the sheep, the good shepherd does. And then there was the cross. They beat nails through His hands. Can you imagine putting your hand down like this, boys? Can you imagine? And letting somebody take a hammer and drive a big old spike about that long, 9-inch nails. That's where the rock group mocks Him and calls their band that. They'll regret that one of these days. And buddy, they'll put those 9-inch nails and a hammer goes, bam! Bam! And drives them and beats His hands to the cross and beats His feet to the cross. Yes, sir. The blood run down. The blood down. Jesus said, greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. The just for the unjust. His life for mine. I'm glad to say this morning, if I had to die and face God, you see, y'all see my faults. All y'all see my faults. You know I'm perfect. You know I deserve to be in hell. But if I had to die this morning, and the Lord, I want to say, all right, Lord, I'm going to stand before You. The Lord says, all right, let's look at Danny's life. And He pulls out Jesus. That's His life. His life for yours. That's how good it is to be saved. That's how wonderful it is to know the Lord. And the devil's up there saying, not fair, not fair, not fair, not fair. He done this, and he done that, and he done this, and he done that. And the Lord said, I didn't see him do nothing. I see Jesus, my son. Now, how good do you want it, people? You ain't tell me you ain't got nothing to shout about. Everybody in here, we've got something to shout about. Glory to God, brother. His life for mine. His life for mine. He said He come in the volume of the book to do His will, by which will we are sanctified. And God sees me, He sees His Son. So that ain't fair. Sure ain't. Glory to God, it's true. It ain't fair. Praise God, but it's true. His life was virtuous. His death was voluntary. Fourthly, this morning, the next thing I want to say is His resurrection was victorious. I said His birth was virgin. His life was virtuous. His death was voluntary. But hallelujah, His resurrection was victorious. For He stood there on the cross that day, and He stood there like this, and He said, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. And then they put vinegar up there, try to, and like that, He wouldn't receive it. That's old swoon theory. You've heard that old swoon theory. You know what some people teach about His death on the cross? They say He really didn't die, but that vinegar had chemicals in it and stuff, and they mixed it and it knocked Him out for 3 days. And He just swooned on the cross, and they thought He was dead and put Him in a grave, but He really wasn't. 3 days He revived up. That's some pretty powerful stuff. You can just look at it and it'll knock you out for 3 days. The Bible said it and receive it. He didn't receive it. And so, brother, he died. And when He did like this, He did like that, and He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And when He did that, His head fell over and it got dark. The sky went black. At 6 o'clock in the evening, or 3 o'clock in the evening, from 3 to 6, dark. And all of a sudden they went, and the earth shook. And for the first time in all eternity, God turned His back. And that's why Jesus said, my God, why hast Thou forsaken me? You know why Jesus said that? Because Him and the Father had never been separated. But in that last moment, when He was on the cross, all our sins Every sin in Hollywood. Every sin in Las Vegas. Every party that everybody had last night. Every bit of dope, wine that anybody... It was all put on Him. And God said, I ain't looking. And turned His back. And in that moment, the Son bore the sin of the world on His brow and on His back and on His soul. That's why He said, my soul is sorrowful even unto death. That's why He prayed, Father, if it could be Your will, let this pass. He wasn't talking about the beating and the scourging. He was talking about that moment when all the sins of the world was put on Him. Listen, brother, if that don't make you live right, nothing make you live right. If you can't live right for that, I know churches, they put down so many rules on people. You can't do this, you can't do that, you gotta do this, you gotta do that. And they're trying their best to do it. Listen, if that ever dawns on you and God gets a hold of your heart, nobody gonna have to tell you to show up for church. Nobody gonna have to tell you to read your Bible. Hey, you're gonna fall in love with it. We love Him because He first loved us. I don't. In the world, yeah. You know, you have people out here in rehab, they've been beat up. You know, the people out here in the AA meetings, they've been beat up. The world beating them up. I just read an article, Mr. T gave me the other day, about these poor girls in Hollywood. Y'all heard about these poor old girls. They've done wild. Britney Spears and Paris Hilton and all them. And they've just gone crazy. Did you know, don't you girls ever envy somebody like that? You ought to feel sorry for them. They're cutting now. They call it cutters. Cutters. That's what all. Cutters. How many of you kids in here this morning know people who cut themselves? Raise your hand, please. Look at that. Every one of these kids. Look at that. What do you think about that? That's the thing now. Did you know in the Bible that shows that a man's demon possessed? You know the who is possessed of a devil comes up. Do you know who does it? Johnny Depp. I got your quote at home. Johnny Depp, he says, I'll hack a piece of flesh off. The man's got demons controlling, and that's what makes you do that. You know who does it? Angelina Jolie. On a regular basis, she cuts herself. There's another girl, they cut herself. Lindsay Lohan, now, they found her with marks all across her where she'd just been scraping herself like that. They're tormented by demons. They caught Nicole Richie driving up the wrong side of the interstate the other morning as a drunk. She didn't even know where she was at on Vicodin and smoking pot. These people are pitiful. We ought to cry when we... It ought to break our heart. They don't even understand. They're driven by demons. But I'm telling you, brother, when Jesus died, He died for their sin. And they don't even realize it. They don't even have a clue. They're ignorant of the Bible and what the Bible says and teaches. I'm telling you, when He got up out of that grave, He got up victorious over death, hell, and the grave. The third day come. The third day came. And you know what happened? Oh, victory in Jesus. Herod couldn't hold Him. Satan couldn't seduce Him. Death couldn't keep Him. And the grave couldn't keep Him down. These people out here today, they think they're getting beat up. You know what's wrong with them movie stars? The world's beating them up. Comes, oh, it's all in your mind. You're just having a hard time. That's just life. Like that fellow said, time he was in a boxing match, and his trainer was one of these positive thinking guys. He went out there in the first round. He's boxing like this. Bam, 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 bam. He come back. His eye was cut. His nose was bleeding. And his manager got down. He said, that's all right. He ain't touched you. He ain't touched you. Come on, go get him, champ. He ain't touched you. Come on. He ain't laid a hand on you. He went out there again. Same thing. Second round. He went, bam, 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 bam. Then he come back. His nose was all puffed out. Teeth are bleeding. Blah, blah, blah. He said, he ain't laid a finger on you. Come on, champ. You can do it. He ain't touched you. Went around the third round. Same thing. Come back around. He said, he ain't touched you. He said, well, somebody better keep an eye on that referee because somebody's beating the devil out of me. I'll tell you something, brother. There's a lot of the world. There's philosophers in the world. That's all in your mind. And listen, buddy. Somebody's beating the devil out of me. I don't know about you. Amen? I mean, somebody's beating me up out here. When I go out there today, I'll get in a fight. And I'm talking about a spiritual fight. The devil's beating me up all this week, ain't he you? I'm not naive, but I'm glad I got somebody who got the victory over the devil. It goes like this. They put him in the tomb. And they put that big old rock there where he couldn't get out. And the Roman soldiers stood. This is Christmas, not Easter, but I've been calling it Easter, so I might as well preach a resurrection Sunday. And they stood around the tomb. He ain't getting out of here. He ain't getting out of here. Don't talk, fellas. And he said he's going to get up. Y'all make sure. They sealed it with a Roman seal. That was the highest authority of the government. So he couldn't get out. Man, y'all listening good this morning. This is good. You listen. And there he was. First day went by. Nothing happened. He ain't going to get up. He's dead. Wrapped him in them embalmed clothes and ever have done them grave clothes. He's in there. Ain't nobody getting out of here. Roman soldiers stood there with their swords. Second day, nothing happened. Boy, I like that song, The Conversation. We sing it now. It's got, and you preachers use that illustration. They said that the devil and old death was talking. And the devil come around and said, "Hey, death! You got him?" And death said, "Sure do. I get them all. I got Cain. I got Abel. I got Adam. Got Eve. Nobody gets away from me. I got him." And the devil said, "You gonna keep him, ain't you?" And death said, "No problem. Nobody can get him out of my claws. I got him." The next day, they said the devil come around and said, "Hey, death!" Death said, "Yes, Mr. Devil." He said, "You still got him?" And death said, "Oh, sure, don't you worry about it, man. Everything's fine. Everything's all right. Go do whatever you need to do." The devil said, "Just check it." After the third day, the devil come back and said, "Hey, death!" Nobody didn't say nothing. He said, "Death!" Death stood up and said, "Yeah." He said, "You sealed him, ain't you?" And he said, death looked back and said, "You know he got away." And the devil said, "No! No! What?" And the song said, "Up from the grave he arose with a mighty triumph over his foes. He arose a victor from the dark domain, and he lived ever with the saints to reign. He come up dangling the keys and said, I'm he that was dead and is alive, and I'm alive forevermore, and have the keys of death and hell." His resurrection was victorious. Victorious. Hallelujah. Herod couldn't keep him. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus lives today. He walks with me and talks with me along life's narrow way. His resurrection was victorious. You say, "Preacher, you really believe that?" 500 people saw him after he rose from the dead. Do you know there's more witnesses to the resurrection of Jesus Christ than there was that Abraham Lincoln got shot? More people eyewitness testified. Now, we know Kennedy got shot. We've seen it on video. At least we think he did. You believe Abraham Lincoln got shot? Why do you believe that? Just because they put it in the history book? How do you know that's true? Well, listen, brother. There's more people saw Jesus Christ after he rose from the dead than saw Abraham Lincoln get shot. He's alive. His birth was virgin. His life was virtuous. His death was vicarious. And his resurrection was victorious. Oh, come, let us adore him. Oh, come, let us adore him. Christ the Lord.